It's time for another Masterworks concert, February this time, and Dick Strasser here with Stuart Molina, music director and conductor of the Harrisburg Symphony, sitting in his living room talking about things that are coming up this week, actually. And first of all, I wanted to congratulate you on a couple of awards, because you've been, you've been very busy, because that's one of the reasons we haven't been able to connect before. But you've also received a couple of awards, Theater Harrisburg's Award for Distinguished Service to the Arts in the Capital Region, and also Lebanon Valley College's Founders Day Award, which honors an individual whose character and leadership contributes to the enhancement of life in Central PA, which is more than just the arts. It's
actually one of the lovely things about the Lebanon Valley College Award is that I'm the first performing arts person win this award. So I'm incredibly honored for both of these awards. What can I say? It's lovely to be recognized for having contributed to the culture of the region.
Right, and it's just a great thing. A lot of people don't even know what we have in this region.
That's for sure. I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of scratching the surface. I have a lot of visibility, but there's a lot going on in this area. Amazing artists of all sorts, including music, visual art, acting, poetry. There's a lot going on here that people just don't know about, and it's nice whenever word gets out.
Right. And so with this concert, you're coming up with an old favorite.
Probably Beethoven's one of the most favorite.
One of the most famous. Anyway,
yes.
Maybe after you get past the first four notes or something, I don't know. But for most people, Beethoven's Fifth is like the classical symphony.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was watching the Super Bowl a couple of days ago, and there were commercials with the polar bears, and the background was Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. And I was sitting with some friends, and I said, well, you'll be hearing that next week. And they were like, I will? They're like, yeah, that's Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
You're going to play the commercial?
That is Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. They just didn't know the music from the second and third movements. Mm-hmm. And so in a sense, maybe this will be a new piece for some of the audience who's used to just hearing the da-da-da-da at the very beginning of the piece. So it's just interesting.
There's something you had said, we had talked about this the last time you did this piece, and it's one of those things that always comes up whenever you are doing something that is so familiar, but maybe unfamiliar. There was a quote from Robert Shaw that you had heard.
Oh, that's right. It's probably my favorite quote about performing. And it goes something like this. I can't say it's verbatim, but the idea was that every time you perform, someone's hearing the music for the first time, and someone's hearing it for the last time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a wonderful way of approaching things, that it needs to be the highest quality performance. Because for some people, they will never again get a chance to hear it. And for others, this is the first impression. The most important impression is that first impression. My whole theory about building an audience for classical music is that getting people in the door is only worth so much if the impression they get once they're inside is not being overwhelmed by the performance. Mm-hmm. And so you have to make every performance an event and something spectacular and worthwhile.
What is it about Beethoven's Fifth that does this to people? I mean, why is it so popular? And I mean, we know it's a great symphony.
I think that it really, well, first of all, it is just great music. The bottom line is it's one of those compositions that's so spectacularly put together. But I do think that it's fairly unique in the way that it grabs you immediately. Mm-hmm. I don't know too many pieces that have that kind of magnetism from the very start. And then not just grabbing you at the beginning, but grabbing you for the first 6 minutes of the piece in a way that doesn't let go at all, with incredible intensity. But then I think that the part that sometimes is overlooked is the dramatic flow of the piece, the way that the second movement provides this breath, and then the third movement starting to build in tension it's a very nervous kind of movement, a very mysterious movement. And then finally, the last movement is one of the great statements of glory and majesty in the entire repertoire. Yeah, and triumph.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Beethoven just got it. I think that Beethoven, there was an innate sense in Beethoven of humanity and what it is to be human. And I think that this piece kind of compresses all of that into a very short period of time.
Right. It's called, the program is called The Fateful Fifth, because the famous motto at the beginning, he described as fate knocks at the door. It's actually one of the few times Beethoven ever said anything about what his music, quote, means.
Well, he was writing concurrently the Sixth Symphony, and those are the two pieces that are most noteworthy for him having given any kinds of program notes as to what the piece is about. Yes, this is a piece about fate, but it's much more a piece about human triumph over fate. That, sure, fate is driving you, but at the in the end, it's the humanity in all of us that's going to transcend that.
Which is a similar kind of idea that we get in Mahler's Fifth and Tchaikovsky's Fifth also.
There's something about the Fifth.
Shostakovich's Fifth.
It does come quite a lot. But you find it throughout the repertoire, this sense of tension and an inescapability of fate when in the end you can escape it. And Tchaikovsky does, and Mahler does, and Shostakovich does in different ways. But nonetheless, it certainly is a common theme, not just in music, but in literature as well.
It's a kind of thing, I think, that a person who is listening to this doesn't have to know theory or musicology or any of this stuff to understand, because in a sense they can identify this with this on their own level, whatever kind of travail they've gone through. I mean, all we have to do is think about the economy today and politics and all this other stuff to go through and come through this whole cycle.
It's absolutely true. And I do think this is why Beethoven has such a wide audience. That there are other composers, obviously, that are great. But if you're not fond of hopeless romantics who wear their heart on their sleeves, you're not going to love Tchaikovsky's music. Beethoven goes past those kind of surface things.
It's very universal.
And it's very universal.
Yeah. It's also not the only thing on the program, so...
It isn't, and in fact, I think that the audience is in for a double dose of treat beyond the Fifth Symphony, because we have two pieces that they probably either don't know or haven't heard in a very, very long time. Right. The Bartok Divertimento, which we're opening with, is an undeniably great work as well by perhaps the greatest composer of the 20th century. And I think that there, too, you get this... It's kind of a gut feeling that one gets listening to this piece, that this is a piece about humans. This is a piece about the universality of being a human being. It's folksy. It has the typical of Bartok, this folk music-driven... language, a lot of intense rhythms that drive the piece, and then in the middle, this second movement, which is, I hate to use the word ponderous, but it is in a sense ponderous. It takes you into this other world, very dark world, and very sorrowful and very expansive world, mysterious as well, similar to the third movement of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, perhaps in a different harmonic language.
Right.
But serves as a perfect foil to the outer movements, which are these joyful explosions of string playing.
Yeah. You think with the term divertimento, which means something light,
a diversion,
dance-like or something.
It's hardly a diversion.
And Bartok, of course, like you said, uses a lot of dance rhythms and spicy harmonies and all this sort of thing. But it's actually it's a work that was composed right before World War II.
Yep. It was a dark time.
Yeah, and he was writing the Sixth String Quartet at the same time, which is also a very dark work.
Well, and you can't even think of... It's hard to imagine the two pieces coming from the same period. The second movement is the only one that in any way rings of the Sixth Quartet.
Right.
Sixth Quartet
sounds
being
like it was
such a strange and brilliant but very weird piece. This is a very accessible piece. The Divertimento for strings, yes, it has its weird moments, but in general... it's a piece that sparkles with major keys and almost jazzy harmonies.
Right. It's the kind of thing you get if you think of Beethoven's Fifth being written at the same time that he was doing, the Fourth Symphony, the Fourth Piano Concerto, the Sixth Symphony, all those other things, the Razumovsky quartets that he was working on around the same time, that this is a very different work, but it doesn't seem to relate to the rest of this, because a composer can compartmentalize himself to focus on what he needs. And what Bartok needed here was a work for Paul Sacher's string orchestra that couldn't be, bear the weight of the world on it.
So. Absolutely. And I think what's great about this particular work of Bartok's, and the other, I would say, populist works of Bartok, the works that appeal to a very wide audience that don't require an audience saying, okay, we're going to go through an experience, but rather we're going to be entertained, What I find wonderful about Bartok is that even in those pieces, there's a brilliance that he can't avoid, mm-hmm. and a compositional genius that comes through in every moment.
Right.
And it's a very difficult piece, too, and I should add that it's a piece that I would be a little bit nervous about doing were it not for the high quality of our string playing.
Right. And then the middle of the program, before intermission,
Speaking of diversions.
The concerto of the program is actually a concerto for four horns.
Yep, and to call it a concerto, it's a concert piece. Mm-hmm. It's not a standard concerto. It's just kind of a fun romp with four horns as soloist. It's called Concert Piece. That's the name
very
of the
generic.
Piece. And he wrote, the composers throughout history have written concert pieces like this. Mm-hmm. Mendelssohn wrote some, Weber wrote a very famous one for piano. And they all have this flow through the piece. It's divided into movements, but they flow seamlessly from one to the next. This one, I don't know of any other piece in the repertoire like it, with four horns playing as soloist with orchestra. Mm-hmm. It's just delightful and fun and exciting. I love the idea that we're featuring our incredibly fine horn section. And I might as well mention their names, Sarah Cyrus, Liza Ballou, Jeff Pilkington, and Bill Hughes. I think that what the audience is going to come away with is not just a sense of how terrific our players are, they will get that too, but also just the sense of Schumann's happy side.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of heavy, dark Schumann music as well. This is the Eusebius side of of Schumann. It's mostly joyful, filled with, you know, fanfare. I guess it makes sense
with these
brass instruments playing fanfares. But at the same time, some really beautiful lyrical music that comes in between.
And this is also a work that was written at a dark time in his life, because the cello concerto comes right after it.
And that is one of the darkest pieces in his entire output.
And there was another concert piece for piano and orchestra, I think, that he wrote around
the same time. That's right, that you don't get to hear very much.
And there was a lot of stuff going on in his life. So this is sort of like his chance to put that all behind him and think great tunes.
And you were talking about compartmentalization. Yeah. I would never think to put myself into his brain. That would be too scary a prospect, but... He was a man who had multiple personalities. He admitted it. It's well documented. And so I guess compartmentalization came very naturally to him, where he'd be able to have the dark, Florestan was the name of the dark character, and then the lyrical, joyful Eusebius coming out in different pieces that were being written at the same time, if not in the same piece. I mean, you see that a lot, particularly in his miniatures for piano. Schumann is an underappreciated composer, and I think the reason for that is that he's very difficult to perform well. And he's a composer for that reason that I've shied away from doing, because, you know, I want to do a great job of everything that we perform, but Schumann is someone who deserves a central place in the repertoire. He's one of the greatest romantic composers, and not just because of his piano music. Next year we'll be doing one of his symphonies, and it'll be the first time since I've been here that we've done a Schumann symphony.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm very excited about that too. And you know, this will be fun. This is not one of the great masterpieces of all time in the way that the Divertimento and Beethoven's Fifth Symphony are. But what it is an absolutely satisfying, delightful, wonderful diversion. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're having these two, testaments to the power of the creative genius mind. It's nice to have something in between that's just kind of like, you know, it's like having a sorbet between two large courses of a meal.
But it also takes a lot to create something
that has
that perfect balance for your palate.
Exactly.
You know,
and I think that Schumann's ability to make a wonderful piece out of this odd combination, because it is odd having four horns as soloist, and I think he pulls every bit out of the instrument. He clearly loves this instrument, and it comes through in his music.
Yeah. So it's a wonderful program, and looking forward to hearing Harrisburg Symphony players, especially the string section getting a chance on its own, and then the horn section comes out as a group soloist. And
it is kind of like a concertant approach to a concert.
Yeah. So that's, if I haven't done this already, that's this Saturday, the 11th of February at 8 o'clock at the Forum, and then Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Also at the Forum.
Well, so it looks like we'll have pretty weather for people to have clear roads to come. It's a February that's not like any other February I've seen.
After some of the things we've had last in the fall with getting concerts underway.
Exactly. I think we're on a roll. I'm feeling very good about the sweep of this season, both in our Masterworks and Pops. I feel like the orchestra is just on a very solid roll of quality performance. Mm.
Great. Okay. Well, look forward to hearing it.
Hope you'll all be there.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll tune in again next month.
Thanks, Dick.
Thanks.